can subscribe if you want.
I would appreciate that.
Yep.
Thank you. Does anybody have any announcements they want to make? Anything they want to add? Brent, welcome to the call. I think this is your first one on these. All right, let's get started, I guess, with our regular agenda. We have a number of PRs open. On the trace interrupt side, we have one PR that has not been modified, so it is PR number 630. Last time we said it was fine as long as Patrick modifies it to include Chris's objection. He has not made any changes, so I think we'll just leave that there and maybe ping Pat and see if there are any updates on that. On the PR sides from Traceability Vocab, here's the link to the PRs. The first one is there are two draft ones that were done by Patrick that are 929 and 930. On the last call, he mentioned that he'll take them out of draft when they're ready for review. Right now, we should feel free to ignore them. So then what I'm going to point us to is the one after that, which is 938. I just linked it in chat. This was opened by Vladimir. This has quite a few reviews and comments. What it does was it fixes the LEI address on a lot of different places. And it fixes some hyperlinking of PDFs and stuff like that. Does anybody have any objections or anything they want to add to PR number 938?
Noting that there's a fail on it. The CI seems to be failing.
It is failing. What is it failing because of? There's a bad indentation of a mapping entry. Okay, so I guess that's an issue within this PR that needs to be fixed. So, I'm pinging Vladimir to go ahead and fix the CI before we can merge it in, but it looks good otherwise. All right. Anything else anyone wants to add on 938?
Just approved.
Wonderful. I guess the last open PR we have to review today is 945. Basically what this is it's an environmental footprint impact credential. There is some room for changes here. There's some room for improvement. I was basically putting this out to walk through and see how people feel about it. The title, I didn't want to include, so in this to your comments, I didn't want to include the fact that it's climate related. Because I feel like it does say environment footprint credential. I don't see what the word climate would do there. I don't know if there's anything that I'm missing, but. I mean, I guess I could rename it to environment impact footprint credential, but it seems pretty straightforward.
Yeah, no, I don't know. Oh, yes, I remember. It's CO2 and methane, isn't like, and CO2 equivalent. I mean, so The climate is also environment, but environment is other things than climate. So my suggestion is climate would be more narrow.
I didn't want to narrow this down to just be anything like that. The point of this was supposed to be something that is helps make a statement about the environmental impact of a product or event with the idea that we would be adding more pollutants as the list goes on. This is just a starting point to get the conversation going and to see if anybody wants to add or if they feel something like this is important, right? Yeah. This is coming from customers of ours who have basically said something like, I have this data. I want to be able to express this data. Do you have anything that, you know, I can use, right? I have a way to basically say, when I created this product using this process, this is the impact that I had, right? There's two potential improvements that I wanted to talk about that I had in mind. One was, do we want to link this to a product or to an event from this credential? And I want to see how people feel about that. And how would that really work? So the idea the very original idea of this was supposed to be, I created this product using, like, by smelting this ore, right? And the output of that process was X amount of, CO2 that was a byproduct that was released to the environment, right? And I want to be able to note that for everybody else. So that's the core goal of this. But yeah, Ted, I see you're on queue.
I guess sort of on the queue. It seems odd to call it a footprint since everything is about impact. And people understand environmental impact. There's no reason not to use that as the name.
Yeah, that's probably a good call out. I'll change this to environment impact credential. I did have a question from an English perspective. Is it environmental impact credential or environment impact credential?
Usually it's with the AL.
Okay, thank you. So I'm going to go ahead and modify that. All right. In principle, does anybody have any objections to this? Or if I do those changes, are we happy with it?
No, it's a good addition for sure. It's I'm sure there are others that are doing the same, so might be worth while looking around.
I did, and the core issue was that a lot of them are specific certifying bodies, and so they were like, so the core statement that my customer wants to make is, this is what I measured, and this is what I believe is coming out of the process, right? And this is from like 2 or 3 separate customers. The current ones are geared a lot more to what an inspector is saying after a certification or something like that, where the inspector basically says, this is what I found as the output of inspecting your process or your facilities, right? And those specific certifications, there's tons of JSON-LD on it, right? It's just this that I, you know, couldn't find, where it's a self-certifying thing.
Okay, cool.
Awesome. Okay, I guess that concludes that. Is this Trace Intro Flake?
I had one more
please.
Comment also. The second one I had is, you are including units and measurement. Typically, we keep those separate.
Oh, you mean in the description versus the thing?
No, unit. So 2 tons or 400 kilograms, not... Like, those are two, that would be a number and a string instead of just one long string that says 200 kilograms.
Right. I think it's because my intention here was that it would always be measured in this one unit for this specific thing.
Oh, right? Yeah, that's right. Yes.
If I want it to be,
Still, we do it. We typically have unit.
But, okay. How would I make it static? Oh, then I guess I could just do a string match equal to kilograms or something like that on the unit type. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Or usage.
I'll take a look, because I think also we may have changed one of the other ones, which I think was the, I'm trying to remember the steel one, the big steel one that my brain is not telling me the name of. Yes, that one. Didn't we change that to be direct units, or is that still name plus unit?
Maybe.
Okay, I'll review, and if it's name plus unit, I'll switch this to I'll make it consistent regardless, and then I'll reply to your comment with whatever way that I find. Okay.
Yes, perfect. Thanks.
Awesome. Thank you. Does anyone know if it's interop versus vocab week? On the interop side, we don't have that many issues. I feel like it might be a good idea to go through and knock them all out and just, you know, be done with it, maybe. Okay. So least recently updated interop, we're going to go for the V1.0s first.
Not that it matters, but it does look like it's vocab week.
Okay. Are we okay to do interop for everyone?
I have no objection.
Excellent.
I agree. Let's go with interop.
Awesome. All right. So, looking at the ones that are marked at V1.0. So first one, let me see if I can add the label filter to this link that I'm sending. All right. So updating the link to use the 1.0 filter. We have changes to section 6 is the first one. On it, I've been pinged a billion times, and this one has been last discussed January 9th. On it, we need to update the references of the use cases and requirements to move to section 6 instead of section 4. Did we merge in your big requirements PRs last week? We did, right?
We did, yeah.
I should have no expectation of change here, right?
It might. Not sure, but it could have. It might be outdated.
I haven't taken a look at this recently.
I would suggest we close this and look through the respec with a fresh set of eyes on
what needs to be done.
And I actually did earlier today. I didn't get to file anything, but I did find significant inconsistencies.
Do you have can I ask you then can I ask you to say you're going to open an issue with some of those?
Sure. Yes, for sure.
So I'm going to add you on this issue to...
I would just post this one.
Well, I'm closing it with a comment saying create a new issue that will update the requirements on the respect document changes with the idea that, like, if it's old enough and we haven't touched it in a while, we might as well get a fresh set of eyes. Okay.
Yes.
So I closed it with that comment. We have a few that are like that, right? So we have the fixes to the intro one. I think this one's done. No? So, sorry, this is PR number 532, where it looks similar to this. So maybe all of these need to be closed, and then they all would be referenced in the new issue that you're going to open. But I think this specific one is done, which says the section title should probably change for 1.1. And there's grammar errors.
I don't think I did update some references in section 1, but I didn't touch the text.
I think that regardless, this one looks like it still needs work and it still needs to be there.
Yeah.
So I'm going to leave this on and I will ping Miaisa and I'll say, I have not worked on it yet. we'll tackle. So we can cycle it through. Best practices for retrieval of data and ownership of data. I think we've removed all the sections on the best practices, right? As part of last week's cleanup. So this is, sorry, this is 496. And we had talk about section 9.1 in the spec. So 9.1, which is no longer there. 9.1.1 is no longer there. I feel like this is good to close. This was removed last week. Unless I'm missing something.
I think you're right.
So 9.1 includes, yeah, all right.
I would close do a it. Search for the text instead of for the section number because sections change.
All right. Must be unique.
Just to be sure.
Yep. So we have traceable presentations in section 7.1.1.
Where the issue is also referenced. That's one of the things we need to purge. Like issue 496 is referenced from that section.
Let me try and find it. Clarify best practices for retrieval and ownership of data ready for PR. Some discussion about is if issuer should be added to the spec to clarify best practices for retrieval and data ownership. Do we want to do this? I guess is the question. So the statement says explicit clarification of issuer should be added to the spec to clarify best practices for retrieval and ownership of data.
I don't know if we need to kill.
I think this is murderable.
Yeah.
I agree. Okay. Does anybody disagree with killing issue 496? Does anyone think there's anything here that we want to keep? Hearing none, I'm going ahead as discussed on April 11th call. We no longer think this is necessary. Does this automatically update the respec doc?
No, it updates it, but it doesn't remove it. So we need to go through that. That was one of the things also I just looked through today. It's not the only closed issue that is now
written. It's still there? Okay. So maybe what I'll do is I'll open an issue that basically says clean up issue tracker on respec. So some issues are closed.
I think a lot of these
still appear on respec doc. Yeah.
I think a lot of these originate from Mike's huge overhaul of the respec about a year ago. Yeah.
Could be. All right. So I think we have closed this issue then. Next up is remove did auth endpoints. Do we still have any? I feel like we can't possibly have any more did auth endpoints in the spec. We've had like 10 different reviews on these. I know last week we removed a bunch, right? And then on this issue, which is issue number 604, it says there are still references in section 10. There are still references in the OAS. So, what section 10 was what we cleaned up last week, right? Well, I guess the old section 10, which has been moved to 8 interoperability testing.
Yeah.
I
think you're right. I don't think we have. I just looked through my internal notes that I took that I haven't turned into issues yet. I didn't make any comments on that, so I think you're right. Let's close it.
Are there any OAS references to it before we close it?
Let's see.
So this would be... there seems to be, yes is the answer. We still have prove presentation, presentation available, presentation submissions YAML. So these still exist. I genuinely can't believe we still have some, but you know, I guess it is what it is. What I'll do is I'll say we have removed references in the spec. We need to remove OAS references. Alright, I can make sure that this is done for next week. This is not a heavy lift. Okay. New section relationship to VC API. So we had a chat about this in the past, and I think we had a chat about it last week. So this is issue number 529.
Thanks.
We had a conversation about it last week, right? Where we basically said what we're doing in this spec is not really VC API stuff anymore. What we're doing in the spec is we're trying to test how we can send and receive, traceable presentations in a way that is compliant and everybody would be happy with. And that's what we're going to focus on. That's what we're going to focus tests on. And everything else really is up to you as an implementer to implement however way you want, right? If you want to implement your credentials issue in a way that is not compliant with VC API, that's a you thing and you can do it in whatever way you want, right? And, I think that's a really good place to be because we don't need, like, what it could be is we could just say, hey, if you're interested in doing your issuance of your credentials internally, you can go ahead and take a look at the VC API. That way you can be interoperable and compliant with them in whatever way you want. But for every other purpose, what we care about is the slash presentations endpoint and how you would handle it, right? I.e. what we expect the credential with an ID, we expect traceable presentation, we expect the workflow, all that fun stuff, right? And so, first of all, does anybody disagree with that characterization of what we're doing here? Okay, hearing none, then I think this section should just be guidance on like the difference between this and the VC API, and it articulates what we just said, which is what we care about here is how to move stuff between different places. If you would like to do a compliant way of issuing credentials internally or writing your own services or anything like that, take a look at the VC API with a link to it. Does that sound like a fair change to this?
I don't disagree with that roughly. I do want to harp again on not talking about internal, but rather within trust boundaries.
Yeah, of course. I'm just using like for us, but yes, it should be trust boundaries.
I understand. It's just one of those things that mm-hmm. If you don't get into the habit of doing it within this group, then you go out of this group and use the wrong terminology.
Yes.
And myself as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So the thing I'm making is this section should basically say go to VC API to figure out any and all communication within a trust boundary. The only thing we care about is the only thing we care about is the interoperable communication between across trust boundaries, right?
I think that's right.
Thing we care about is interoperable communication across trust boundaries in a supply chain setting, right? Alright. Okay. I think that's done, and I think this was assigned to Patrick, is the latest comment that we had on it. Excellent. And then Should we update the spec to use status list 2021 is, I believe, the last issue from the 1.0s that we had. And this one basically says, any system conforming to the spec must support revocation list 2021. We have finished this, right? I recall the last thing we left it up is because we used the word status list 2021. It should be bitstring status list, which is why we have this open. This is assigned to me. I can go ahead and do this. This was changed last week. Okay. So, we'll tackle this soon to change status list 2021 to bitstring status list. Okay. Does anybody have anything they want to add on any of those issues? Awesome. Do we want to look at the non 1.0 labels, or do we want to switch to 1.0 on vocab? We have 14 open issues, of which 4 are 1.0s on trace interop. My personal vote is we just keep going with trace interop and try and close as many as we can and see where that gets us.
No argument.
All right, then let's keep going. So this is the new sorting link. It says, allow JWT in credentials/verify. Well, we don't have credentials/verify anymore, right? That's out of scope. Do you want to close this issue? Is anybody against closing this issue? All right. I'm just gonna verify, as we now only care about cross trust boundary communication. All right. I am gonna go ahead and close it with that comment. Nice. Support for SD JOTS. This is an issue that's a tracker to keep an eye on SD JOTS. And do we have anything in the spec right now that talks about SD JOTS? I don't think we do, do we? We do not. We point to Jose Cose and say, these are the things that you want to look at, but we don't go any more in depth than that and saying you must use SDJOTS or you must use any other way. What that does is it leaves it open for us within this specific profile to actually be interoperable, because if one vendor only supports SDJOTS, another vendor supports something else, like Cose, then they won't actually be able to communicate. I feel like that's a thing we might want to close down and pick at least one thing or two things for this profile. Does anybody disagree with that assessment? Does anyone have any suggestions on what we would use? SDJOTS or JWT claims or JOT claims or, you know, anything else? Do we want to push that for later? So this is, I forgot to link it. It's issue 405. We need to make a selection of what part of VC Jose Cose we want to support in this profile. sd.or.plus. Does anybody disagree with that statement? With like the idea of we need to narrow it down? Does anyone have any suggestions for what we would narrow it down to? I think we should do it to JOTS, not SDJOTS, because I think that's the easiest thing for most people to support. But that's a personal opinion. I don't know if anybody disagrees with that. My suggestion is we go with plus.
Oh, I was muted. Great.
I was wondering why nobody's talking to me. I'm just sitting there on my own.
I agree, but I was hesitating because I also didn't really know what my argument was, but yes, I think your argument works well.
Brent, Russell, Ted, any of you disagree with that idea?
I haven't given a deep thought, but not at this time.
Okay.
Yeah, same for me.
All right, so I'm going to tentatively say my position in this, if you would put in yours in the thing.
Yeah.
And then if no one has any issues with that, we can, next time we revisit it, we can just, you know, resolve to do it that way, right? So personal recommendation is to go with plus JOT. All right. As it is the easiest for most implementers to support. All right. Well, I think that cycles that issue out. Next up we have.
Is that, should we actually tag that as version one? It seems.
Yeah, we should tag as version one. Right. That's a good call. Labels v1.0. Okay. I have tagged it. Thank you for that suggestion. Next up, 582. I don't actually think this really matters, but what this issue, and I don't know if that's too, like, toxic, and I genuinely don't mean it that way. But I think this issue is a very, very, very small issue, and it basically says, please add a column to each organization that basically changes it from the organization to the implementation and the provider that they're using, right? I think that makes sense. I don't think we need to do this in V1, and I don't think we need to tackle this now. But that's my personal opinion. Sorry, but this is issue 582. If there's something that I'm missing or something that anybody disagrees with, please let me know. I see that, Ted, you've asked for a link to the summary for that page, and that is absolutely valid, and I will link the, no, link it here, is where the summary can be found. Personally, I want to close this issue, but I don't know if people think this is still valid or not.
If it still shows up just as company names and not as implementations, I think it still needs to happen.
Yeah? Okay. Does anybody else disagree? Anybody else? Everybody else has no strong feelings one way or another, I guess?
No.
Okay. So then let's leave it alive. And what I'll do is I'll just say this is where the summary can be found. But Ted, you don't disagree that this is not a high priority issue, right?
I don't think it'll blow up anything at the moment because I think right now all these companies have one implementation. I just anticipate that going forward that will not be the case.
Okay, fair enough. And that cycles issue number 582. The next issue up is 359. And I see Patrick has joined us. Welcome to the call. Number 359 is about conformance testing for credentials status. And based on our last week's comments, we do not need to do this anymore, right? Because we're saying credential status, if you want to look at conformance testing, look at the VC API. If you care about this specifically, we as a group do not really need to implement it. Is that a...
Yeah, we still lack a way to then do the revocation. If we can rely on our Postman collection to call slash status in a consistent way, we need some other mechanism to do that. And that's totally doable. And I don't disagree. I'm just saying we are taking away the solution. We're not proposing the alternative.
Okay. Patrick?
Well, I think a call ago we had discussed an alternative which would go something like when a company wants to onboard this traceability test suite, they would submit a VC Jose JOT, or they would submit two VC Jose JOT, one that is issued and then another one that is revoked. And the test then would be more of taking these JOT and sending it to the presentation's endpoint. So every software will be able to test if the other software's revocation status has been implemented correctly. I think because like you say, it would be difficult to reproduce the, I issue you a credential, you verify it, and now I revoke this credential and you verify it again. This would be difficult to have a test dynamic like this if we don't test this endpoint. However, it's still possible to have two already issued credential, one that is valid and one that is revoked, and just make sure that the endpoints can still, you know, confirm that one is revoked and the other one is not.
That's great. That's thank you,
exactly
Patrick.
What I was going to say. Yeah. Thank you, Patrick. So are you okay if I close it with a comment that says it is outdated and we no longer need to run conformance on the credential status? The new direction will be to build static fixtures with one valid, one invalid VC. Does that sound fair? Excellent. Closing with that comment, we're zooming today. Finalize signing dash verify methods. This seems eerily similar to their support for SDJOT one. Sorry, so this is 506. We need to clarify list of signature suites and signing mechanisms, especially in light of implications for volumes of data we're dealing with. There was a suggestion that ES384 is a must. I think we've already done this.
Yes,
we
did. It's outdated.
Yeah, we have, this has been merged in and we agreed to ES384 as a must. It's nice that we've, you know, you're closing stuff from over a year ago.
Yes.
Pretty good. Excellent job. Align workflows concept in VC API and traceability API. I think this was raised by Manu. This is 589. Last week on the call for the VC API, we talked to him about a lot of the new directions that we're doing here in on the traceability side, where we're trying to say what we care about is the slash presentations endpoint and all that fun stuff. I don't know if we still need to do anything different. I think the workflows are very clearly different here versus there. The only, like, points of confusion is that they're both using the same word name. So we could maybe change the word name, but that's all I can really think of. Patrick?
So regarding the link to the VC API, I still think it would be a good idea to keep mention of the VC API and the implementation guideline while strongly suggesting implementers to adopt the VC API when
designing
their platform.
That's in 529.
Yeah.
So we already had an issue for this, issue 529, okay, that we went through earlier today. Basically what we said was, we should have a section that says, if you want to figure out communication within a trust boundary, go to the VC API. They're really good at it.
Yes.
Right? If you want to talk about interoperable across communication, communication across trust boundaries in a supply chain setting, this is the place to be.
Yes.
So that's issue 529. For this specific issue, I think the question is, do we need to align the concepts of workflows between traceability and VC API? Is that a thing we need to do?
I mean, we had a lot of discussion to definitely come to the conclusion they don't overlap with each other. Also, I believe that the traceability API had this concept way before it was introduced in the VC API. So I wouldn't think that the traceability side would need to change anything. Since it's already used, and even on the VC API, it's not quite spec'd out yet. I don't see a conflict with both right now.
Okay. So do you think we could close this issue?
Yes. Maybe when you close it, refer the other issue about the relationship with the mm-hmm. VC API.
It's already linked from here.
Okay. And then we... You know, we could put a little word in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The two separate specs are now clearly tackling different things. This should reduce any confusion. All right. So I'm going to head and close that issue. Next up is 624. This was raised by you, Patrick. It basically says we had conformant negative tests that will ascertain that context values can't contain vocab objects. You have a PR that's open for this, and that's the PR that we took a look at earlier today that I think you had to do some updates on, right?
Yeah, there's still the need to update the, I think the schema. Yeah, I need to do this. Yeah.
Okay. I don't think there's anything else to be said on this issue, right? We're good. I'm just going to ping Patrick to cycle this issue. We have a PR open, just pending feedback. All right.
The only thing is, based on what we discussed earlier, and I forget, Patrick, if you had joined then, but we moving away from, you know, the within trust boundary, basically we're moving away from what that means is we're moving away from conformance altogether.
Yeah.
I don't want to waste time.
No, I agree. If we plan to remove conformance test altogether, you know, could be.
So maybe we should just have an issue that says remove conformance tests.
Well, I think there's a broader just realigning the test, you know, how test and operated topic that needs to be addressed, you know, with like the way if we want to, first of all, test for VC Jose and just test presentation endpoints.
So we have an issue that talks about that, and I think we're going to get to it really soon.
Okay.
Which is... actually, the next issue to discuss, which is very nicely tailored. So this issue is number 631. So maybe what I'll say is I'll close this issue, and Patrick, you could maybe close your PR, because they will no longer be relevant in the near future.
Yeah, it's not worth it. It was just one test. And
relevant, see 631. All right, so I'm closing with that comment, and then if you could close your PR whenever.
Yeah, closing it right now.
All right, so let's move on to 631 then. This, you opened this PR. This is about we need to update our interoperability testing checklist because we, with our new agreement, basically we need to remove conformance and we need to trim the endpoints. Is there anything specific? So I see there's two more comments and I don't know if there's anything there that I, that warrants calling out. Go ahead.
One thing I would say is I wouldn't remove them until we have something to replace, if that makes sense. Like until there's a new way of testing, like I wouldn't just remove all the tests and wait till we develop the test. I think it's still nice to have a conformity page, and I'm still, I've been saying that for a while, but, you know, I'm slowly making my way to deploy this, this implementation and the PCGov's infrastructure, and we do very wanna, you know, submit the implementation here. And we want to make sure as we define new tests that we can implement these new, what will be tested. So I think, you know, before removing these tests, I would just wait until the new way of testing is a bit more clear, maybe, and something is in place.
Yeah, I think that's a fair statement. I don't think we should remove the conformance tests until we have a baseline implementation of the new testing format. I think that's a fair ask. Does anybody disagree with that?
Yeah. This specifically references a section in the respec called interoperability testing. That's what it's targeting.
And right. Sorry, I think my point was...
That describes /issue/verify, which we've agreed we are not covering.
I agree 100%. I think my point maybe wasn't clear. I'm saying the spec text can be changed, but we shouldn't remove the conformance tests until we actually have something to replace those tests, right? But we should have the spec text reflect our best intentions, our, you know, most current intentions. Do you disagree with that statement, Liz?
What do we gain from keeping conformance around? Why not?
Right, no, it makes it easier for some people to build stuff. It's really all that we're getting for it.
It's yeah, just more you have to align to, but if you know that it's a zombie, it's an already dead zombie that's just that you are making happy, like, why?
Yeah,
I'm just trying to make your life easier, Patrick. The rest of us have like been.
Well, I mean, I already passed all the tests. Like, you know, besides the object and something else, like, you know, it's not a problem here. So that's done. My comment was more for, you know, having, cause it's nice, even if it's a lot of, you know, little micro tests, it's nice to just have a summary page, you know, that people can refer to, because this is one thing that BC wants. You know, they want to be able to say like, look, we are the government, we have a, you know, we passed this, our platform is interoperable with a traceability spec, and it's nice to have, you know, these charts with like, oh, you passed this amount of tests, and, you know, it's nice. This being said, there is still the interoperability report, which, you know, this could do, so maybe the conformity section could not be there anymore, but it's important to still have, you know, especially if you're talking about interoperability, you need to have some kind of way to demonstrate this and show it, right?
For sure, yes.
That's why, like, at the beginning, I was concerned if all we're going to test is post-presentations return a 200, you know, that doesn't do much for me, you know, it's like, it's not representative. So that's why, like, with these new tests, we'll need to find a way that you can actually display results that are meaningful, right? You just don't want to display, yeah, I send a post request and they return a 200. Like, that's, it doesn't do much, right? Like, you need a bit more. Like, yes, they were able to test the verification. Yes, they were able to test the status and all this. But yeah, by reflecting more, I think actually the conformance section, it could be taken out if we leave the interim. or maybe just taking it out of the GitHub actions. You know, I think, I mean, I don't see anything wrong with leaving these Postman collections, you know, in the spec and say like, here you go. You know, we have these here. You can use them.
There is a downside in that we're not updating them anymore. And if we're not updating them, then all they could do is just cause confusion. So
that's true. That's true.
My thinking is when we write that section that says the VC API, this is our new direction, blah, blah, blah. That's when we can remove the conformance test. Cause then it's like crystal clear what we're trying to do. And we don't even need the tests at that, the new fixtures at that point. But it's at least, clear direction.
Yeah, I agree. And these tests are already available at the VC API, you know, like you can go at the VC API issuer implementation and, you know, it's going to be similar tests, right? They test the data model. So, and here focusing more on the interop makes sense. So yeah, I take that back. I'm okay with removing the conformance testing.
Great.
Ness, how do you feel?
Oh, very good. I feel very good about that. The idea
statement is we should remove conformance tests from repo and from spec. That's the statement that we're agreeing to?
I think so. Part of me, like, you know, and, you know, even, you know, people wrote this, they're pretty comprehensive. It's pretty good. There's still values in this test. I just don't know if this is the place where they should live. So,
I think if we can delete stuff to make it easier for anybody to comply, that's what we should do.
Yeah.
I think I've changed my mind as well as we're talking.
100% agree, Mahmoud.
Yeah.
Patrick, you're very welcome to download it and run it every day. and don't forget, like, you joined us recently. The rest of us, we've been building this also, and we've all implemented passing it also. The way to look at this is we've learned from the process, and getting rid of stuff is great. It's the best thing.
Yeah. But I can tell you definitely, like, from my point of view, it was useful, right? Like, it was useful to build the, you know, make the right checks and build the correct solution. And, you know, after a while, when you're so used to something, it's easy to like lose track of how that is useful because you're now so used to it. So you don't see it from the beginning. But as a newcomer in the spec, like these tests gave me a clear direction into how to write this web server, you know. But then again, this was very focused on the VC API, which is not so much true anymore. So. Yeah, just I'm fine with removing it. That's fine.
Okay, thank you. I know we have 3 minutes, but we're at the very last issue, and it is 636, and it should be super quick. This is just the issue about the meeting cadence rescheduling. I did send out an email. They haven't replied. And I mean, one of them was on vacation at the time, so I don't know. What I'll do is we can just ping them here directly and see if they respond to the GitHub thread. Does anybody have anything else they want to bring up? Anything? Any other suggestions that we could on how we could reach out to the chairs?
I know Will. Isn't he one of the chairs now? I think
he is.
Yeah, so I can maybe send him a little Discord message or something.
I appreciate it. If you could, that would be really
But you know, do the ping them in the issue, but I can just maybe link the issue to him and ask, like,
absolutely,
what needs to be done. Yeah.
Thank you. I have pinged them on the issue, and if you could, that would be great.
Sounds good. All right. Is anyone anyone at IAW next week, or just going to be
me? I am not, unfortunately. Not going to be.
All right. Well, I'll be there.
All right. Well, have fun and have a wonderful time. Thank you, everyone. This was a very productive meeting. We've gone through everything on interop, and we now have 9 issues remaining, and a lot of them are very small. So very proud of everyone. Great job. And let's talk soon.
Awesome.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye.